Welcome to Green with Envy with Peter Terweem, with an inside look at sustainability and tips and ideas for living a good green life. Here is your host, Peter Terweem.
Well, good day and welcome to Green with Envy on World Talk Radio, the show where we lift the green veil to uncover stories behind the global sustainability movement. And from beautiful Vancouver, Canada, I'm your host, Peter Terweem. Now, when most people say the word nonprofit, it typically conjures up images of charity-based organizations that rely on public and private donations and grants. But with cash-strapped consumers, government cutbacks, and the recent economic downturn, that model is under more pressure than ever. At the same time, society continues to face a number of social issues that need attention, from the plight of the mentally ill and the homeless, to inner-city decay and environmental degradation. At the intersection of these two domains, a strong force is emerging, social enterprises and the visionary entrepreneurs leading them. Indeed, many nonprofits are operating a range of business ventures called social enterprises that sell goods or provide services. However, the difference with private sector enterprises is that they do so to create a blended return on investment, both financial and social, rather than just maximizing profits alone. These social enterprises are an important part of our economy and society because they fill a need that the market will never meet on its own, like creating employment for marginalized people. They also help generate revenues that a nonprofit can use to further its social purpose or advance an organization's mission. And lest you think that social enterprises are simply a feel-good thing, they are getting a lot of attention from a number of quarters. Social enterprise is attracting megabucks from funders like the Clinton Foundation, the Gates Foundation, and the Skoll Foundation, and even some of the more conservative aid donors like the World Bank and USAID. In its relatively short history, social enterprise has been a regular feature in mainstream press, including a PBS series called New Heroes, Fast Company's annual Social Capitalist Awards, and even mainstream publications like The Economist and The Guardian. And in the UK, a country with some of the most advanced social enterprise practices in the world, the British government deemed social enterprises as an essential strategic tool for the social sector development. And they even created a special unit for social enterprise in the Department of Trade and Industry and a legal designation known as Community Interest Company. And finally, more than 80 universities around the world teach social entrepreneurship and social enterprise, many of which have dedicated centers to the further study of social entrepreneurship, and among them are Harvard, Oxford, NYU, Columbia, and UC Berkeley. Indeed, one of our guests later today hails from the social enterprise community at Stanford University in California. Excuse me. Later on today's edition, we'll chat with the CEO of a unique social enterprise in Africa, and we'll learn more about a successful Canadian program that is helping launch, sustain, and measure the impact of a number of social enterprises. But first, let's start with Elisa Birnbaum from Toronto. Elisa is a journalist, producer, and communications consultant who has published articles in the Globe and Mail, National Post, CBC.ca, Profit, and Zoomer magazine, amongst others. She's also a co-founder of Sea Change magazine, a quarterly digital publication dedicated to social enterprise and entrepreneurship. And it is in that capacity that we welcome her today. Good morning, Elisa.
Hi, good morning.
So, Elisa, your post-secondary education was in political science and law, yet you find yourself today in the social enterprise sector. How did that happen?
Well, it's definitely a question I get a lot. I think it really just comes down to passion. I did love, you know, my studies in political science. I loved learning about law. I loved how, you know, law was sort of a mirror on who we were, where we're going, and the legal machinations and underpinnings of our society was always fascinating to me, as it still is today. But I don't know. There was something about journalism, and specifically journalism telling stories about issues that really matter to me, that I really cared about, that I thought other people should care about, just always pulled me. And so I just kind of made the switch, and I just started writing. And I started writing about a lot of different things, and in particular the nonprofit sector. And it kind of this interest in social enterprise, social entrepreneurship, just sort of grew organically from that, because so many nonprofits or a growing number of them, as I was writing about it, about issues in the nonprofit sector, were turning to different ways to sustain themselves. Because, you know, there was government cutbacks and there was so much competition and, you know, nonprofits were just trying to find a way to sustain. And, you know, creating these social enterprises became a big part of how they've done that. And so I just started becoming fascinated with social entrepreneurship. And then developed into this bigger and bigger issue. And I noticed that there was nothing, my co-founder and I, we both talked about how there was no publication in Canada about social entrepreneurship, about social enterprise. And we thought it was necessary. We thought there needed to be something here. There were so many amazing stories, so many amazing people doing these incredible things, inspirational things. And we wanted to get the stories out.
And so that was your vision in creating Sea Change, was to be a vehicle and helping inspire people around social enterprise and sharing some of the best practices and stories behind it.
Exactly. We understood that for a movement, well, we call it, you know, a movement of social entrepreneurship, for a movement to really progress, to really go somewhere, to you need to have some kind of stamp of approval and perimeter of some kind. And it's hard to do that when the stories aren't being told, when no one knows much about them, when no one understands what's going on, no one hears about them, no one has a place to go to talk, to discourse. We wanted to create that. We wanted to help create a sense of legitimacy, a sense of, you know, and storytelling is a part of that. And so we wanted to play our part in sort of helping promote, helping further along a movement that we were very, very passionate about. And we still are, obviously, a year and a half into it.
So as you step back and look at the stories that you've published over the past couple of years, what are some of the consistent themes that you see emerging around this sector, at least with the organizations that you're involved with?
Well, I mean, there's a number of them. I think some of them are a little bit more frustrating themes in the sense that there's a huge funding issue for a lot of social entrepreneurs. They seem to be struggling with that issue. So that's, you know, the downside. That's a sort of a theme that is an unfortunate reality because they're sort of caught in this sort of hybrid situation where people don't really know, you know, they're a nonprofit or they're a charity making money. People are still confused as to who they are and what, you know, how that sort of plays a part in the funding scheme. And so they're also having some difficulty with recognition. I mean, there's those kind of themes which run through a lot of the stories we do touch upon because it's, you know, that's what's going on. But there's also these wonderful themes about, you know, how organizations are turning themselves around, becoming self-sufficient, becoming more independent, becoming more sustainable. They're looking at issues upside down. They're using innovation and creativity in these ways that are so remarkable and so inspirational. And those are really the positive side of the themes that I would, you know, I would sort of look at in terms of where we've come, you know, not only in Canada, but although we do focus a lot on Canadians, but, you know, around the world.
So there seems to me to be a built-in tension between, you know, the mission-driven nature of most nonprofit organizations and then trying to somehow integrate, you know, economic principles, free market principles, entrepreneurship, you know, however it is that you want to describe that. How do you see that balance emerging between those two worlds? Because I think they are really quite different dimensions.
Yeah, they are totally different dimensions, but I see more and more that people and the entrepreneurs themselves, they're finding a lovely balance between the two. They're finding that you can sort of meld a nonprofit mission and or a charitable mission with entrepreneurial business oriented practices and approaches and learnings, and you can get very far. And it doesn't have to be one or the other. And I think that's really a big part of what's happening here is that, you know, people are trying to demonstrate, and they're successfully demonstrating, it's just a slow process, that the two can work side by side and you can learn one from the other and you can be a nonprofit and still raise money to help support your cause. And you know what? It actually is a good idea and it works well and it could be scalable. And, you know, there are models that have turned up more and more that other people are taking heed and they're saying, hey, this is possible. I think it's just a question of, you know, getting the legal recognition and getting the funders, investors to sort of see it, what it is. And I think they're coming there. They're getting there. It's just it's sort of an incremental, slow process. But I think I have real strong faith and hope that you know, we're going to get there. And then we, as in, you know, this movement, I find myself, even though I'm not, you know, working in it as such, but I take very, and it's a very passionate field for me, so, you know.
In the, I mentioned earlier on that in the UK, you know, that's a country that's actually, I think, arguably viewed as one of the leading jurisdictions, rather, that's supporting the growth of the social economy, and they've done that with, you know, with some of the points I was mentioning earlier, creating a special unit within the Department of Trade and Industry, a legal designation as a, of a community interest company. Yeah. What do you think has happened in the UK that has created that recognition for the role of social enterprise in a way that I don't think we've seen to the same degree in North America? We had some attempts, and certainly in Canada under the previous government, those seem to have gone away with the government we've had for the last 5 or 6 years. So do you have a bit of a sense for, you know, what are we missing in the North American context that they seem to have gotten in the UK?
I think there's a couple of things. I mean, I think we also, we have to keep in mind, first of all, that UK has been doing this for a lot longer than in Canada, and even longer than the US, but definitely Canada. So I think sometimes it sometimes just takes time. Like, people need to come around to it. So there needs to be some patience. But I think that the other thing about the UK is that they have champions, and they had specific champions like Sir Ronald Cohen, who was huge champion in the UK for years. And he was a business guy, but really had a very soft heart for this this field and for the people, social entrepreneurs and social enterprises. And he pushed for it, and he fought his way, you know, into government meetings and changed things. I really do believe it makes a difference when you have champions, when you have people who stand up, not people necessarily in the nonprofit sector, although it could come from that too. But I think you need people in the business community, you need people in government, you need people to really stand up and take note and push this idea, these ideas forward, and make a case for why this is so important. And I think we need a few more champions standing up in Canada for that to happen.
Now, are you seeing as well social enterprise ideas or approaches being blended into the corporate world? I mean, there's obviously an increasing interest in corporations' social purposes, their contribution to community, you know, ways to distinguish their brand, and so on, as opposed to just social enterprises adopting sort of you know, private sector enterprise-based models into the nonprofit world. Are you seeing that reverse process happening as well?
100%. I mean, you know, first you always have the corporate social responsibility, which is something of a different entity, a different beast. But nevertheless, I think it does stem from similar sort of feelings, similar sort of, you know, sensibilities. And I think it's just this growing sense that you can do business and you can do good at the same time. And I think the more and more the corporate world is seeing that and they're trying to adopt, you know, the same way that nonprofits can learn from business, businesses can learn from nonprofits, and they can adopt, you know, various practices that help them achieve some social missions. In fact, you know, my magazine in particular, and a lot of people do define social enterprise a bit broader, social entrepreneurial activities a bit broader, to include some for-profit companies that are have the sole purpose to reach and to achieve social mission. We still consider them there's some definition confusion among that, but we still do see them. If their sole purpose is to achieve social mission, we still consider them social entrepreneurs. That does differ from companies doing corporate social responsibility, of course, mm-hmm. but it comes from the same place, in the sense that they're trying to help fill those gaps, those social gaps, environmental gaps, and that are not getting met otherwise, and they're making this as priorities in their work.
Right. So we have about a minute left here before we have to go to a break. Quick example of an organization that you think is, you know, is doing a great job of embodying some of these principles?
Yeah, I mean, I recently, I mean, there's so many of them, but I know, I'm just thinking of the recent, I took a trip to, Fogo Island, Newfoundland, of all places, and, population 2,700. And there's a woman there who's a social entrepreneur who's trying to turn around her community that is reeling from a COD moratorium for so many years, and she's building an inn, she's building art residencies, she's doing all these innovative things, and brilliantly so, so as to provide jobs and revenue for her community. And it's unbelievable the amount of press and accolades that she's getting so far, and it's only just started. But she is a true social entrepreneur and a true innovator, and it's very, very impressive and inspirational.
Awesome. Listen, Lisa, thanks so much for your time today. If people want to read your publication, it's CSEECChangeMagazine.ca, correct?
That's right.
Awesome. Listen, thank you again. And you're listening to Green with Envy on World Talk Radio. I'm Peter Terweem, and we'll be right back after this short break.